your Bible, please, and turn to Matthew chapter number 24. Matthew chapter number 24. Once you find Matthew chapter 24, I'd like you to find verse number 3, and then stand with me, if you would, please. Matthew chapter 24, verse number 3. Matthew chapter 24, verse number 3. While you continue to find that, let me tell you the title of the sermon this morning. It's called The Prophecies of Deception Concerning America. The Prophecies of Deception Concerning or for America. Matthew chapter 24, I'm going to read out loud, starting with verse 3, and then you can follow along silently. The Bible says, "And as he sat upon the Mount of Olives, the disciples came unto him privately, saying, Tell us, when shall these things be? And what shall be the sign of thy coming and of the end of the world? And Jesus answered and said unto them, Take heed that no man deceive you. For many shall come in my name, saying, I am Christ, and shall deceive many." If you look back this way, notice Jesus was asked the question, when will you be coming again? What will the signs be? And he said, there'll be a lot of deceiving going on right before I come back. A lot of deceiving going on. Let's pray. Father, bless us now. Help us that what is said and done in the next few minutes is heavenly, not earthly. Spirit of God, we'd just like everything to be in your control. My voice, my mind, I surrender it to you. But may all of us surrender our minds and our ears to you. Control what we think. Control our perceptions. Control. And then, Father, help us to be better because we've come to church. If there's somebody here that's not saved, I pray they'd be saved. Bless us now with thy presence, please, and we pray in Jesus' name. Amen. A couple of days, we'll celebrate the 4th of July here at the church. This would be our 4th of July weekend. A lot of stir in the last 24 months about making America great again. And I'm glad of that. Now, everywhere you go, there are conspiracy theories about this and conspiracy theories about that. Let me tell you, the greatest conspiracy happening in the universe is the devil and his deception and what goes on. You say, oh, Pastor, some of the silly stuff that goes on and the things that are taking place around our world and in our government, it is obvious that Jesus is coming again soon. Well, I think Jesus is coming again, and I think Jesus is probably coming again soon. But I don't think just what you see happening in our government is what tells the sign that Jesus is coming again. I think it's what's happening with you tells us that Jesus is coming again. Have you become a part of the deception of the last days? The scripture said this, Jesus answered and said to them, "Take heed that no man deceive you. For many shall come in my name, saying, I am Christ, and shall deceive many." Here, probably some Christian people said, "How can we know you're coming again?" And Jesus said, "You better be careful. Somebody's coming to deceive you. Coming to deceive you." Said, right before I come, you will be deceived. Now that you, that's me and you. So in verse 3, what shall be the sign of thy coming and of the end of the world? And this question was asked of Jesus by his disciples on Mount Olive. And he tells them, watch out. Twice he uses the word deception. I think people being easily deceived is a sign of what we would call the last days. And we're living somewhere in the realm of the last days. Jesus then further emphasizes this prophecy about these deceptions in Matthew 25, verse 11. He said, "And many false prophets shall rise and shall deceive many." That's the third time he mentions the deception. And then in Matthew 24, verse 24, it says, "For there shall arise false Christs and false prophets, and shall show great signs and wonders, insomuch that if it were possible, they shall deceive the very elect." Folks, we live in a day where people are very easily deceived. It is a prophecy being fulfilled of the last days. And sure, I look around and I see things happening in our nation and other nations that have to do with the prophecy of the last days. But I think the biggest fulfillment of prophecy that proves we're in the last days is how deceived the individual Christians are about how they're behaving in the last days. Because he said, you'll know I'm coming soon because a whole bunch of you're going to be deceived as well. Folks, and let me tell you something. Your best defense against the devil's deception is immediate obedience to the Word of God. Amen. Don't delay. Don't debate the Word of God. Don't compromise. Don't make up excuses. Don't try to explain away the parts you don't like. If you don't want to be deceived by the great deceiver, which is the devil, once you learn it from the Bible, do it. Don't delay, because the devil has a way of getting involved in your logic and your justification. And before long, you'll not be obeying something in the Scripture you should have obeyed, and you just should have obeyed immediately. Yeah, it's not unreasonable of God to want immediate obedience. When you and I, those of you that are adults, when you had children, when you wanted your child, when you said, be quiet, you pretty well meant now. I don't think anybody here looked to their child and said, be quiet, and figured, get to it here in the next 10 or 15 minutes, if you will, kid. No, you meant now. And when your God gives you something from the Scripture, he was expecting some immediate obedience. You say, well, I got to figure it out. Well, there might be some of it you need to learn, but there's some of it you live by faith. You just do it. When your child turned to you and said, well, Dad, I got to figure it out before I'm going to obey you, you're thinking you better figure out how to obey what you better figure out how to do. You'll figure out the rest of it later. But if you don't want to be deceived, one of the best things to do, it's immediate obedience. But people are easily deceived away from the right kinds of churches in these days. I've watched people leave old-time religion churches and go to churches that are far from the old-time way, and they think it's okay. Now, they're deceived. They're deceived. We're not supposed to be going backwards in this day and age. We're supposed to be going forward. And we accept more and more the New Age kind of religion and the contemporary kind of Christianity. Folks, I'm old-time religion. I've been old-time religion. I want to die old-time religion. I'm not going to apologize for it. But there's a great deception going on in our world. You say, I think Jesus is coming again because what's happening in our Congress. I think Jesus is coming again because what's happening in our churches. That's why I think Jesus is coming again. In this sermon, I'm going to talk to you about some of the tools the devil will use in the last days that will easily deceive people. Again, I call the sermon the prophecy of deception for America. The Bible says in Colossians 2:8, beware lest any man spoil you through philosophy and vain deceit. There's that deception. 2 John chapter 1, verse number 7, the Bible says, for many deceivers are entered into the world who confess not that Jesus Christ has come in the flesh. This is a deceiver and an antichrist. Ephesians chapter 4, verse 14, it says that we henceforth be no more children tossed to and fro and carried about with every wind of doctrine by the sleight, that's deception of men, and cunning craftiness whereby they lay in wait to deceive. In Isaiah chapter 30, verse number 10, it says, which say to the seers, see not, and to the prophets, prophesy not unto us right things, speak unto us smooth things, prophesy deceits. You know what? It even says here in the last days, preachers are going to curb their messages. They're going to back off, cower down. They're going to be afraid to tell the truth. They're not going to tell the truth because there are people saying, take it easy. Take it easy. These are the last days. People don't preach like that anymore. People don't raise their voice anymore. People don't call sin, sin anymore. Well, that doesn't make it right. There are a lot of things that we ought to be doing in America that everybody doesn't do anymore, but it's still right to do. Every deception that I mentioned to you this morning has been a deception that's been around from the beginning, but it is going to become very prominent and very influential, these deceptions in what we call the last days. So indeed, I believe there are things happening in our nation, and I think there are things happening in our world that are signs that Jesus is coming again. But the greatest sign is the deception of the actual true Christians and some of the things that they accept and them going backwards in their Christianity instead of forward. Stay with me, if you will. May I say, first of all, the devil's main work is deceiving. It's deceiving people. In the book of Revelation, a book about the end times, we see the devil's tactics mentioned over and over again. Listen, Revelation 12:9, it says, "And the great dragon was cast out, an old serpent called the devil and Satan, which deceiveth the whole world." The devil is the ultimate deceiver. It's what he does. He does it well. Just like Jesus and God is truth, He is the epitome. He is what truth is. The devil is what a lie is. The devil is what deception is. As much as Jesus is the truth, the devil is a lie. And deceiving is what he is good at. He's the best at it. Revelation 13, verse 14, it says, speaking of the devil, "And deceiveth them that dwell on the earth." He's good at it. Revelation 19, 20, it says, "And the beast was taken, with him the false prophet that wrought miracles before him, with which he deceived them." He's a deceiver. He intensifies his deception in the last days. I happen to believe that there are a lot of people out there that are being deceived away from right things and good things. I'm talking about born-again Christians that are just accepting less and accepting going backwards instead of going forwards. It's a part of the deception of the last days. Be careful now. Don't go backwards for God. Don't go backwards with God. Be going forward. In the last day, a lot of deception is going to come our way from the devil. And he wants to deceive us, getting to go backwards, to retract ourselves from the things of God. Let me give you some for instance. Riches easily deceive, and the Bible teaches us there will be deception of riches, and I think in the last days in a special way. Matthew 13, verse 22, it says, "He also that received seed among the thorns is he that heareth the word and cares of this world, and the deceitfulness of riches choke the word." Folks, here it talks about riches choking the word of God. You say, what does that mean? It means it keeps the word of God from accomplishing what it should or could do. Let me warn you of something. In the last days, if Christians are not careful, money will become more important to them than Jesus, and money will become more important to them than church, and money will become more important to them than God, and you're getting sucked into the deceit of the last days. You say, well, what's going to happen with the European common market? Let me tell you something. You ought to be concerned that you don't let money become your God in your Christian life, because that is as much a sign that Jesus is coming again as is what is happening in the European common market. Watch out, Christian. Money can get too big to you. If you're working all the time, you don't have time for Jesus, and you don't have time for God, and you steal the tithe, and you do all of those things. It's a part of the deception that's always been around, but there's going to be more of it going on in the last days, because the last days are big days of deception for the actual believer. Amen. Riches. People chase after money more than they chase after God. Now, you're going to need money to pay your bills. I just be careful how many bills you make. That has something. You say, well, I'm going to be a person of character and pay my bills. I'd be careful how many bills you make. That way you still have time for God. People putting money before God. I got to tell you, thank God for what God has done for our church. Anybody that's been here, you've watched. God's really blessed our church and helped us. And we paid for our auditorium and our building, our last building program. We were able to pay cash for what we bought, and we pay our bills, and we have enough money coming in. We've watched that. It's kind of a revival that we have experienced. But, not all churches get to see that. Not all churches get to see the hand of God and the finances come in. And I just tell you, in the last days, it's going to get worse and worse. You say that knucklehead church. It may not just be the church. It may be the people in the church that are sucked into the last days of making money more important to them than what they do for God and their service to God and how they handle their money for God. But let me give you another. Liquor is going to be something that's going to deceive people, especially in the last days. The Bible says in Proverbs 20, verse 1, "Wine is a mocker, strong drink is raging, and whosoever is deceived thereby." Here the Bible says that liquor is deceiving. It's one of the deceivers. Now, it always has been a deceiver, but in the last days, there will be more deception in regard to it. Liquor promises happiness, provides sorrow. Liquor promises fun, just gives you a hangover. Liquor promises a lift,
But you end up with depression. Liquor, the great deceiver in the last days. Liquor lies to your brain. Liquor can make somebody across the barroom floor that's as ugly as snot look pretty good for the night. And you wake up the next morning and say, I did what? You roll the dice, you pay the price, and liquor will lie to your eyes, and liquor will lie to your brain, and liquor will lie to your body. Liquor will lie to you. It'll take you for everything that it can take you for. It lies to you. It lies to you. And so, the deceit, riches deceive, and they always have been deceiving. But God said, right before I come back, get ready. Even some of the best are going to be deceived by how important money is. Just so you all know, I don't care how much money you have. You can lose it all today. You better you hope you have God. You better just hope you're right with God. You say, I've got all the security I need down at BB&T. You better get all the security you need in the BIBLE, because you could lose it all unless you have God. You could starve. Money is not what provides security for the Christian. Jesus is.
Yes.
Oh my. Liquor's a liar. Not only that. People are easily deceived into thinking that they can sin and then not reap the consequences. But people have always been deceived by that. Like, I go out and do what I want and then I won't have to pay the price. Look, you roll the dice, you'll pay the price. You paint the town red on Saturday night, you'll wake up Sunday morning and hate the color red. Galatians 6:7 says, be not deceived. God is not mocked. For whatsoever a man soweth, that shall he also reap. Look, you manipulate, you will be manipulated. That's how it's going to be. But people, and all along, people have been deceived into thinking you can go do what you want, but you won't have to pay the price that God set as a price on what you just did. People have been they've been deceived like that. You can go all the way back to the Garden of Eden. There are people thinking, we'll do what we want. We'll get away with it. No, if you take the tree, the knowledge of good and evil is going to cost you now. And it did. But I'm sure for a moment we thought, it ain't going to cost. It's not me. That doesn't apply to me. But it does apply to you. What is it that causes people to think that they can sin, and when God said there will be some sort of a consequence or punishment, if you will, for that sin, what makes us think that that's for everybody else, but that's not for us? I'll tell you what it is. The deceitfulness of the devil. And in the last days, more and more, the routine deceits of the devil will be intensified as he's trying to get you and I, as Christians, off track. He's trying to keep, and can I tell you why? The devil's kind of, he knows as it gets closer and closer, we have the chance of having some great revivals and seeing some people saved. So he wants to dilute the church and deceive the church so they're weakened at a time when there could be revival. You say, revival in the last days? You never hear about that very much. Well, you've been going to the wrong church. The Bible says where sin did abound, did grace much more abound. Churches everywhere. They just sold out. They decided you can't have revival today. You can't build churches today. You can't reach people today. We're living in the last days. Somebody sold you a wooden nickel. In the last days, there can be people saved. But it won't be from the churches that already put their tail between their legs and gave up on God and have accepted it. Jesus is coming. There's nothing you can do. We'll just hang around the church for a little while. Let's just hope we can make it. No, we plan to take that hill like they sang about a little while ago and do something for God. I didn't expect the people that were in our military that fought to keep this country strong, healthy, and free, I didn't expect them to give their lives and go through what they went through for you and I to give up on God and our country. The devil's going to deceive, but somebody needs to open their eyes and decide, I will not be deceived. I'm going to keep on believing if you do wrong, it's going to bring consequences. I'm going to keep believing that liquor can destroy our nation. I'm going to keep on believing that money is not what our country's all about. You might be glad the stock market's going well and the economy's going well. And I'm glad for you. You say, why? Because if you tithe, I get the money. But I will tell you this. I would rather have you in church like you ought to be in church than missing church all the time to go make money.
Right.
Now you got to make enough money to pay your bills, and I'm not attacking that any way, shape, or form. But you better put God at the top of the totem pole of the priorities in your life. Don't let liquor lie to you. Don't let money lie to you. Don't let the idea that you can go do what you want and get away with it, don't let the devil deceive you about that. In the last days, people are going to be easily deceived by their emotions and their feelings. We today live in a do what you feel like Christianity. Let your emotions lead you. I want it. I'll manipulate my way scripturally through it and I'll get it. Let me tell you something. The Bible says in Jeremiah 17:9, the heart is deceitful above all things. I cannot understand preachers, philosophers, whatever they are, going around saying, follow your heart. Just follow your heart. Follow your heart. That's contrary to the Bible.
Amen.
The heart is deceitful above all things. My heart at 3:30 this morning said, don't get up. I'll tell you something. My heart's a liar. I've got to do what's right. I'm glad we have emotions. I like emotions. They're fun. They keep life from being boring. Some of you are saying my life is way too exciting right now, preacher. I'd like a little boring in our house. I am going to tell you, folks, the devil is working overtime with the deceitfulness of feelings and emotions. I'm glad. I believe this, and maybe I'm wrong. I don't think that I am. I think people walk into our church and there's an atmosphere here. I think when you walk in, you say, I think something's about to happen here. It's a cleanness. There's something going on here. But let me tell you, I want it to be the Holy Spirit. I don't want it to be me. I don't want it to be you. I want it to be the Holy Spirit of God. And I think there's a certain atmosphere that's a revival type atmosphere. I don't like going to churches when you walk in, you feel like you're at a funeral home.
Right.
We didn't come to die. We came to live. We came to learn to have victory. But I have to tell you, if you're not careful, everywhere you go in churches, there is so much emotion involved. And I'm for emotion. I'm not trying to eliminate all emotion, but I'm not going to let emotion lead the wagon train. The Bible's got to lead the wagon train. Truth has to lead the wagon train. And I've been to services where someone got up and preached, and they 30 minutes, and everybody's going, "Whoa, wasn't that great?" And you walk out and say, "What did he say? I don't know. I don't know what they said, but that was exciting." Well, I'm glad for you, but you're going to come here. It might be exciting, but you'll walk out and know you got your truck loaded. You'll find out the difference between right and wrong. And I like emotion, but emotion is not to become priority in our leading our families, in leading our country, in leading our churches. You say, well, what's to lead us? Not your heart. Let the Bible lead you. See, in the last days, more and more emotion. The wicked philosophy of humanism has greatly affected our country. And the increase of the deception, it's all emotional in their decision making. So, I think there are a lot of things going on in our country and around the world. I think that those things could be precursors to the coming again of Jesus Christ. But I think that the real prophecy that we're seeing fulfilled in America is not necessarily nationwide. It's not nations. It's individuals. It's individuals that are letting money become a priority over Jesus, and individuals that let liquor into their lives, and we ought to still be fighting it in our country. I think it's those of us that think that you can sin and it's okay. Just because the world has gotten worse, we think that we can get worse. As long as we're not as bad as the world, there are no consequences for our actions. But there are. If it's wrong, it's still wrong. I think we see today people easily deceived and letting their emotions guide when it shouldn't ought to be that way. But not only that, I think in these last days, people are easily deceived into thinking that they don't really have a sin problem. You know, in 1 John 1:8, it says, if we say that we have no sin, we deceive ourselves. Now, let me make something very clear to you. There are two kinds of people in this room today. There are saved sinners and there are lost sinners. If you're not born again, you're a lost sinner. You need to get saved. If you're saved, you're still a sinner. Here it says, if we say we have not sinned, we deceive ourselves. So this, you know, you say, well, what's the point that you're trying to make? I think in the last days, I think there are people who are saved, and they're sinners, but they don't really think so. So everybody here knows this sermon is for you. This sermon's for me. If you've been sitting there all this time saying, get them, preacher, get them, they need this. Now you need this. That truth, you know, Pastor, that truth is for the real sinners. No, you're one of them. I'm one of them. We're real sinners. Preacher, that's for bad sinners. What kind of sinner are you? You a good one? You're a good sinner? Your sin's good and our sin's bad? Your sin's white and my sin's black? Your sin's sweet and my sin's sour? Is that what you're saying? Big old chunk of humility would do us all good. And in the last days, if you're not careful, you'll be saying, well, I'm not as bad as old so-and-so in the church. What's that have to do with your personal relationship with Jesus Christ? You're not a finished product. I'm not so bad. Well, my sin, it's little. When was the last time you used the altar? In the last days, people will sit in the pew. The preacher can preach the truth, but we won't get up and go to the altar because we don't need to. You don't need the altar. You're not a wicked, bad sinner. If I had a joke right now, I'd tell it so you could relax. But I don't. But in the last days, what's going to happen is good people are convinced they're good when they still ought to be believing they're still a saved sinner. And you'll be deceived. He said, well, I'm not as bad as those people up the road. Don't compare your people. Don't compare yourself to the people up the road. Compare yourself to the one up in heaven. And suddenly you'll see yourself differently. But it said there, if we say we have no sin, we deceive ourselves. And that's a deception that's been going on. You understand the concept of the sermon. All these deceptions always have been. But the Bible says in the last days they will be they'll be increased. The devil will pull out all stops in deceiving. And he wasn't just talking about deceiving the world. Look, the world's always been deceived, hook, line, and sinker. He was talking to his disciples. They said, Lord, what's one of the signs that you're going to be coming back? And he said, the deceiver is going to deceive in an incredible way. He'll take everything he does right before it's time for me to come back, and he'll throw it all into an intensity, and it's going to affect you. You. Not only that, I think people are easily deceived into thinking it's okay to hear the Word of God and not obey it. That's going to happen in the last days. We're going to be happy spectators. Listeners. James 1:22 says, but be ye doers of the Word and not hearers only, deceiving your own selves. Oh, we always have been deceived of hearing and not doing, but he said in the last days. Yeah, it's going to be a mega problem. Big problem. There's going to be a crescendo of people walking in, plunking her down in a pew, saying, feed me, Pastor. Preach. I like preaching. Preacher, I want you to preach. I want you to get with it. I want you to get there. Tell me stories and preach to me. Hey, make it so my friends will come and hear you preach. Pastor, ring the bell. Shuck the corn. Preach the sermon. Make it so we can be proud of you, preacher. And then you walk out and you go live your life the same way you did when you walked in. You just admire the preaching. That's good. I'm glad. Thanks for admiring the preaching. I'd rather you didn't admire the preaching, but you went home and lived it. Now, we can do both. But it said, being hearers only, we deceive ourselves. Folks, you're not just supposed to listen to it. You're supposed to do it. Now, if I tell you something that's not in the Bible, you don't have to do it. But if you're taught and preached something that's in the Bible, do you think that this is a puppet show? And I'm to entertain?
Hello, everybody. It's Pastor Owens here. It's time for Preaching Time with Jesse. Now, you don't have to do a thing I say, but let's have fun hearing me say it.
Now, when was the last time you came to church, you heard a sermon, and it changed some part of your life? You just walk in and say, oh, that's good. I like hearing that. At least it wasn't boring. Beats it, watching TV. And then for some of you, if it doesn't beat watching TV, you stay home and watch TV. We're to act upon it, not just consider it. Boy, are we watching? Are we watching church become almost like a place of entertainment? Tickle my fancy. Entertain me. Almost. Preach me something I've never heard. Well, what's the difference whether you've heard it or not? You're supposed to live it. So, but in the last days, it says that there will be hearers only, deceiving their own selves. Now, it's always been a deception. But that's going to intensify in the last days. All of these, you hear that word deception. It's talking about the devil, the great deceiver. And how riches will deceive more in the last days than ever before. Liquor will deceive more in the last days than ever before. Thinking you don't reap what you sow, you'll be deceived by that more in the last days than ever before. Letting yourself be emotionally led instead of scripturally led, more in the last days than ever before. Deceiving yourself, thinking that you are not a sinner. You're above most anything that is being taught or preached. Deceiving yourself into thinking it's okay to listen to the Word of God, but not do anything about it. Let me go on. I think in the last days, people are easily deceived by sin itself in the last days. The Bible says, but exhort one another daily, Hebrews 3:13, while it is called today, lest any of you be hardened through the deceitfulness of sin. Folks, so you know, sin's a bit like a spider web. The deeper you get in, the more stuck you get. It doesn't get better as you go deeper. It gets worse. Sin is a liar. Sin is a deceiver. Sin never pays. Sin will take you deeper than you want to go, keep you longer than you want to stay. It will cost you more than you want to pay. And sin runs wild today, and people convince themselves it's just a part of the day and age. And it may be that we are waxing worse and worse in this day, but Christians don't have to be a part of that. We too often judge our Christianity on the basis of the distance between us and the world. And that's not right. And you say, why? Well, let me show you. Brother Edwards, come up here for a second. If Brother Edwards is the world and I am a Christian, I say, you know what? There's a distance between me and Brother Edwards, and there's supposed to be. But you know what happens? The world gets worse. So Brother Edwards, take a big step that direction. The world gets worse, and here's what most churches do. They take a step back toward the world. They are now where the world used to be. And they say, we're not like the world. Then what happens? The world takes a step and gets worse. You all know what kind of trash is going on in our world today? So then the church takes a step. I am now where the world wouldn't even have gone years ago. I am now what the world criticized. You say, well, Pastor, what are we supposed to do? We'll continue to look like Little House on the Prairie and raise our kids right and be sober and kind and tell the truth. And you know what? We're to be going that way, not toward the world. The song is, the world behind me, the cross before me. The world behind me, the cross before me. What am I to be doing? We're to be purifying. Thank you, Brother Edwards. The average Christian keeps their distance from the world the same as the world progressively gets worse and worse and worse. And they say, look at me. Still not like the world. You mean you're not like the world today. You're just like the world of 5 years ago, 10 years ago. We don't base our Christianity with the world as our standard. We base our Christianity with the Bible as our standard. But people are very easily deceived. You know how many churches, and some of you're sucked right into it. There are churches that are admired by people in this room, and those churches are virtually liberal in what they believe, what they stand for, what they promote. But those churches are not like the world. But those churches, it's not a matter of distance from the world that makes the church what it ought to be. It's closeness to the Bible that makes a church what it ought to be. Let me give you a couple more and we'll be done. In the last days, this issue of lust will be increased. The deceptions of lust. Listen, the Bible says in Ephesians 4:22 that ye put off concerning the former conversation, the old man, which is corrupt according to deceitful lusts. Lust is deceitful. It's very deceitful. Let me warn every young person in here. There are some things mom and dad, your preacher, your youth director says, stay away from it. You say, well, I really don't see what's wrong with it. Once you take a couple steps into it and it sucks you in like a vacuum cleaner, you'll say, whoa, what happened? Lust is powerful. It's deceitful. There are some things you're just better off staying away from it. Amen. To anybody in here, if you have not gotten yourself involved in pornography, run! Run from it. You say, why? It is so powerful. The draw is so powerful. I've watched some of the best people I know that had a hard time tearing themselves away from it. You say, why? Lust is deceitful. Lust is powerful. And the Bible says there always has been a lust problem, but in the last days, that lust problem and the deceitfulness of lust is going to be magnified. You know, I've hunted and loved hunting for years. Lust is like a buck that's blind to the hunter when the rut season comes in. Big old buck, man, when he's in rut, when he's looking for his female, there can be hunters everywhere. Bows, rifles, bazookas. That old buck, he's prancing down the road saying, where's my woman? Where's my woman? 50 hunters have a gun on him and he's saying, I don't see anything. I don't hear anything. Where's my woman? Lust blinds you, lies to you, puts you out there where you can be destroyed. Because I want something. I want this so bad. It's what I want. And I'm going to have it no matter what it costs me. I'm going to have it if it costs me my marriage. I'm going to have it if it costs me my safety. I'm going to have this. I want it. I want it. I want it. I want it. Let me tell you something, folks. When you want something so bad, you risk everything to have it. You're about to destroy you and a bunch of people. Lust becomes more and more powerful. Lust for praise. Lust for so many things. Let me finish by this, and we'll have an invitation. It won't be long. We'll be on our way home. You know, in the last days, I believe the deceitfulness of pride will be exalted. Jeremiah 49:16 says, thy terribleness hath deceived thee, and the pride of thine heart. There's the deceitfulness of pride. We deceive ourselves about pride. Pride blinds us. Pride makes us sure that we're right when we're not. Look, young person, if it's right, then why do you hide it from your mom and dad? Your pride says, it's right. It's right. But you hide it from your mom and dad. Why do you hide it from your pastor? You know, you say, it's right. It's right. But you hide it from your pastor. You hide it from the most spiritual people you know. Well, why do you have to hide what is right from those spiritual people you know? You don't have to hide right from spiritual people. You hide wrong from spiritual people. Whether you'll accept it or not, your pride, you want something, you want it bad enough, your pride causes you to make decisions that'll destroy you. The Bible says pride goeth before destruction and a haughty spirit before a fall. I think I see more pride among God's people than I've ever seen before. Pride makes us confident when we shouldn't be. When we shouldn't be. This morning, we look toward the 4th of July. You say, Pastor, look at what's going on around our world. Look at what's going on in our government, in the higher places in our country. Jesus is coming again. And that's a part of it. But I believe a greater revelation of the fact that Jesus is coming again is the prophecy of the last days, where Jesus said this. Jesus said, "For there shall rise false prophets, and false prophets shall show great signs and wonders, so much that if possible, they shall deceive the very elect." He said, "Take heed that no man deceive you, for many shall come in my name, saying, 'I am Christ,' and shall deceive many." He said, it's not the government being deceived that's the big deal. It's you born again Christians that are being sucked into a backwards motion in your Christianity and thinking it's just part of the last days. It's going to happen. Look, we could be living in the last days, but we could be living victory Christianity if you choose to do so. If you're here today and you've never been saved, we invite you to the Savior. If you're not born again, you ought to get born again. Let's bow our heads and close our eyes. Every head bowed, every eye closed. And here's the first question. If you died today, do you know for a fact you'd go to heaven? If you died today, do you know for a fact you'd go to heaven? Who here would say, Pastor, I don't know that I'm saved. Pray for me. I don't know I'm born again. If you're not saved, you come. We'll take a Bible and show you how to be born again. What Christian here would say, Pastor, God's alerted me to some things. I see that there's some things that I need to watch out for in this last days issue. And God has spoken to my heart about the deception of the last days. I need to be careful of some things. Would you raise your hand and say, God's warned me about some things. God bless you. You may put your hands down. If you've been saved and never been baptized, if you're an adult, you can get baptized. If you're a child and we've got your parent's signature, you can get baptized today. We'll have a baptismal service briefly at the end of our service. Now, you might need the altar. On 4th of July weekend, we're going to have sparklers and hot dogs and think about the freedom of America. But may I say, if you're concerned that we're living in the last days, make sure the last days have not overtaken your thinking, your Christianity. You might be a part of that prophecy. We're going to have an altar call. The pianist is going to begin to play at this moment. Let's stand to our feet with our heads bowed, our eyes closed. If you need the altar, you come. Maybe you just need to come and pray, Christian. Are you going backwards in your Christianity? Are you going backwards for God? Say, I want God to do something special in my family. Don't go backwards with your family. Don't let the full altar stop you. Altars are supposed to be full. They're not supposed to be empty. Invitation time, there's supposed to be movement. The old-time religion still works. The deceitfulness of money, the deceitfulness of pride, the deceitfulness of lust, the deceitfulness of liquor. The deceitfulness of sowing and reaping, the deceitfulness of sin, the deceitfulness of being a hearer but not a doer. All those deceits have always been, but they will be intensified right before Jesus comes back. America, Jesus is coming again. Not because who or who is not elected president, not because of this law or that law being passed, but because we're being deceived further and further away from biblical behavior. That is the prophecy that was given about the nearness of Jesus coming again. And that's practical, everyday, easily applied prophecy to your life and mine. If you're not saved, you come. We'll take a Bible and help you to be born again. Church membership requires salvation, baptism by immersion after salvation. And if you want to join our church, you come and you let us know if you have met those requirements.
Thank you, Sarah.